the greatest day in history. Death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave, life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. Wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Oh, happy day, happy day. You have washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever. When I stand in that place, free at last, meeting face to face, I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy, perfect peace, earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive, he's alive. Have washed my sins away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Oh, happy day, happy day. You have washed my sins away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. Glorious way that you have saved me. Oh, what a glorious day. What a glorious name.
Yes, we look different, we sound different, but we're here to do the same thing. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 You are here, turning lives around. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, for you're mending every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 Oh, that is who you are. That is who you are. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. Never stop working. You never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop, never stop working. Way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 You are here. You're moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. Just continue to worship the Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus, our miracle worker. God, that is who you are. You are
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are.
Cries, holy, you are lifted high.
song forever to the Lamb.
If you walk in freedom,
if you bear His name,
sing the song forever to the Lamb.
Sing the song forever and amen. Angels cry.
You are awesome and holy and so worthy to be praised. We give You honor and glory today, Lord. We lift up Your name. We lift up our voice and we sing praise to You, King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God be glorified today. Lord, have Your way in this place today, Lord. Praise You, Father God. Lord, we come before You this morning and we thank You for Your blessings. We thank You for Your provision. We thank You for Your hand being upon us, Father God. Lord, there's a few specifics we lift up to You today. Father, we think of Carmen. We are grateful that she's been able to get her surgery scheduled. We are thankful that You've given us doctors that we can go to. Lord, I pray that You would minister to her body. I pray that You would continue to touch her and heal her and watch over her. Lord, whether You choose to heal her miraculously or through the doctors, God, we lift her up to You and pray for Your hand to touch her and minister to her. Lord, this morning we think of Rich, who goes in for his eye surgery on Tuesday. Lord, we believe with all of our heart that his vision is going to be totally better in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank You, Father God, again, for the procedures and the wisdom and the modern medicine. But Lord, our trust and hope is in You and You alone, Father God. Be the hands of those surgeons on Tuesday. Minister to them. Use them to touch Rich and to bring about that healing in Jesus' name. Lord, bring peace to him and Mary Jan both. Encourage them, Lord. Let Your peace that surpasses all understanding well up in them even greater than they've ever experienced before. Lord, speak to them, we pray. Lord Jesus, we continue to think of Judy and ask You would touch her and minister to her. Lord, lots going on in her physical body, Lord, and we pray for healing in her flesh, Lord. Father, and I know there are many other needs here, and I just pray that You would speak to each and every one of them. God, I pray that You would open eyes and ears and hearts and minds, that You would just show Yourself powerful as You are, merciful as You are. God, would You speak to the lives of Your people, Father God? We praise You and thank You for the opportunity to come before You this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we took a brief pause last week from our spiritual gifts journey, And we did that specifically so we could celebrate Resurrection Sunday, right? Last week we took the time to praise the Lord and lift Him up and thank Him for His blessings and really focused in on that resurrection. You know, that whole crucifixion and death and resurrection, that in and of itself is a gift for us, right? In fact, the greatest gift that we could ever really receive. So we put a pause on our spiritual gift journey, but we're going to pick that up again this morning. I do pray that as we continue this journey and move on, I do pray that that resurrection and that whole thing that we talked about last week sticks in our mind. I pray that we don't stop celebrating that resurrection just because Easter Sunday is gone for another year. Pray that we continue to celebrate and trust in Him. In our time together here this morning, we will move on to the spiritual gifts study again that we have been spending any time with. That being said, today we want to get back to this journey and take our next step. As a reminder, this spiritual gift study has different texts throughout Scripture that are attached to it. We've only hit one section of Scripture so far that we are working through. We will eventually walk through those other sections of Scripture. One thing we are not going to do is go back and revisit gifts that we've already talked about. So in Scripture, there are different sections where the gifts are talked about, and some of them are repeated. We're not going to repeat those, all right? We've already covered some of those gifts. We're not going to go back to them. So I would encourage you this morning, if you've not listened to some of those other messages, go back to our website, sanctuaryag.com, and listen to some of those prior messages. I'll be honest with you, from almost the first of the year, we started out talking about love, agape love, the importance of love, how love is the backbone to these spiritual gifts. And then we started diving into all the different spiritual gifts. So if you haven't listened to those, I would encourage you to go back and listen. Maybe you've missed one or two here or there. Go back and have a listen to those. We are in Romans chapter 12. And to date, we have covered five of the seven gifts that are listed in Romans chapter 12. The ones we've covered so far are prophecy, the gift of serving or service, teaching, encouraging or exhortation is another word for that, and giving. Those are the ones that we've talked about so far in our journey. I definitely want to make sure I say this morning. Please remember, as we talk about all of these, the Holy Spirit controls the gifts. The Holy Spirit gives those gifts freely to anyone, all right? But we also have to remember that the Holy Spirit can use anybody at any time. Any of us could be used by God in any way that we're going to be talking about through all of these gifts that are given. So if we come to one that you're like, oh, that doesn't sound like me, or that doesn't sound exciting, or I don't think I want to be involved in that, don't tune out what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. Don't turn out the message. Listen, because you never know when God says, now's the time He wants to use you. Now's the time that He wants you to step up. So listen, because God can use any one of us. And He'll do it for His glory and honor. Today we take the next step. So let's read through our scripture that we've been working with. Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 6. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do so cheerfully. Again, if you've been following along, you know today that we are at the gift of leadership. That's where we are headed today. And I really think I need to emphasize this morning something I just said just a few seconds ago. This is one of those gifts. We cannot tune this part out, folks. Way, way too many of us think that we are not leaders, that we're not able to lead, that we don't have any business leading. A lot of us think that way. But God can through you. So even though you may not feel like you're a leader, pay attention this morning, because leadership could be a way that God wants to use you. In fact, I'll remind you again, the last few weeks we've talked about, in fact, I haven't worded it this way before, but I will this morning, we've talked about the Isaiah principle. Remember Isaiah? God said, I need someone to go. What did Isaiah do? Ooh, send me, here I am. That's how we need to be. That needs to be our attitude with any of these spiritual gifts. Lord, you want to use me? Amen, use me, send me. Work through me, all right? So don't tune out this morning. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you, even if you don't think you're a leader. We have an excellent example of this in Scripture. A guy by the name of Moses. Now, we'll remember Moses most of the time as this amazing leader of the Israelites. We remember him as the man who brought them out of Egypt. We remember him as the man who led them through the wilderness for 40 years, through whom God did miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, through Moses, right? We remember that. We remember him parting the Red Sea. We remember the manna that God brought about, and a lot of that happened through Moses. But Moses didn't always think he was supposed to be a leader. Moses, I'll say, didn't have the heart of a leader at one point. He questioned God regarding his leadership. He actually thought God was making a mistake. Believe that? Moses, this guy that we see so fondly, thought God was making a mistake. You'll remember his story. He was put in the basket, put in the river, found by Pharaoh's daughter, raised by Pharaoh's daughter, grew up in Pharaoh's household, had the best of everything because of where he was raised. While he was living with the Egyptians, he was watching over the Israelites, and he eventually killed an Egyptian, right? And then he took off, he ran, he saw what he did, and he left the place. He was in fear. 40 years he was gone. 40 years he was raising sheep at that point. He went to a land where he met his wife, and his father-in-law had sheep, and he became a shepherd. He began raising sheep. And while out tending those flocks one day, Moses saw a very interesting sight. He saw a bush that was on fire, but was not being consumed. It was not being burned up. That got his attention. I would guess it probably would get our attention as well. If we saw something unnatural happening, I think we'd pay attention to it. And it got Moses' attention. Dare I say, there are times I envy that. I really wish God would give me a burning bush sometime. Not just because I know it would him, but I'd be able to listen and know clearly what he's telling me, right? I know envy's not a good word there or a good thing for us, but nonetheless, it would be nice sometimes, right? How about the writing on the wall in Daniel? I would love God to do some writing on a wall. Okay, I'm digressing. Back to Moses. Moses went over to the bush. Moses met God at that burning bush. And when he first met God, he responded in a very interesting way. Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Sound familiar? We're back to that Isaiah principle. Here I am. I'm right here. Talk to me. Interesting that Moses responded that same way. As the account goes on, God tells Moses that he's heard the cry of his people and that God is going to send his people a deliverer. And oh yeah, Moses, by the way, it's you. You're the one who's going to go back to Egypt and deliver my people from their hand. To which Moses responds in Exodus 3:11. Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" God just gave him direct directions. God spoke to him, said, "You're going to do this." And Moses said, "Me? Why me? Who am I?" If you read through Exodus, if you read through that section of Scripture, you will find several verses where God and Moses carry on this conversation back and forth. And as the conversation goes, Moses continues to question God. Am I really the right person to do this job? Is it me that you really want? Isn't there somebody that could do this job better than me? He goes back and forth with God questioning this whole thing. Eventually, Moses says this. Chapter 4, verse 10. Moses says to the Lord, "O God, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." Basically, he was saying to God, I can't even talk to you, God. How am I going to lead these people out of Egypt? Who am I? I'm nobody. You know, he confirmed right there that just because he met God, God didn't do some miracle and say, and he now had this great ability to, you know, talk and command. He said, "Neither have I been in the past, nor am I now. I'm not this great orator. I can't speak well. God, why?" Think about that. Moses was saying, I can't be a leader. You've made a mistake, God. That's not the job for me. There's got to be some. I shepherd. I'm pretty good at that. But who am I to be a leader? There's got to be someone else you can use. And then the Lord, our God, responds to Moses in a way that I think he would probably respond to us even today when we're caught questioning him. Look at what he says. Exodus 4, 11 and 12. The Lord said to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." I think when we question God, that should be our go-to set of verses. Because God doesn't make mistakes, folks. God doesn't tell us to do something he's not going to prepare us to do. God would say that to us as much as he would say it to Moses. "I am the one who made man. I put the stars in the place. I created all you see. Do you think I cannot give you the words to speak, or the actions to do, or the gifts to give? Go, and I will go with you." But we tend to be more like Moses. We tend to argue with God. We tend to question his direction. We tend to challenge God. That's who we are. As human beings, that seems to be ingrained in us. Believer, non-believer, we all do it. We all question and challenge him. But God very clearly says, "I will be with you." Even though God said that, Moses didn't stop questioning him. Just a short time later, Moses says, "Please send someone else." God of all creation has called me to do a job, and my response is, please send someone else. Please send Isaiah. He was excited about it. Moses didn't stop. Now, we know eventually Moses did what God told him to do. Moses finally said, fine, I'll do it. And we remember Moses not as this whiner at the bush, not as this guy who complained and talked back. We read that part of the story, but we remember Moses as a great leader. That's how we remember him. Whether he felt like he was a leader or not, whether initially he was able to do a good job or not, we remember him now as the great leader that he became, that God made him. Amen? Amen? All that insecurity went away. Even though he was unwilling, even though he questioned God, eventually he gave in. And God used him in an absolutely incredible way. I wonder how many times the Holy Spirit tries to use us, and all we do is argue. All we do is raise up the negatives or the I can't because, I can't because, I can't because. And God says, you can because I, you can because I, you can because I. We need to learn to stop the argument. We need to learn to let God do what God's going to do. Even though we may not feel like we would make some sort of a great leader, even if we don't think we are gifted in that vein, God may choose to use us. He may call you, whether it's to a burning bush or some other way, He may call you and say, hey, I want you to go do this. What is your response going to be? We have another excellent example, also Old Testament, but an excellent example, a guy by the name of Nehemiah. Perhaps not one of the most significant leaders in Scripture, not one of the individuals we might instantly think about when this whole idea of leadership comes to mind, but a good leader nonetheless, a good leader that God used nonetheless. Nehemiah was one of those individuals who was born during the time of the exile. He wasn't even in his homeland. And he was considered an exile at this point. But he didn't allow those circumstances to stop him from becoming who God wanted him to be. He didn't let those circumstances stop God from using him the way God wanted to use him. You can read through Nehemiah and read through his story, and you will see all the details and all the different ways of how God used him. The basic gist of it is he not only had to go to the king at the time and get the king's permission, but then he went back to his homeland, and he led the charge to rebuild the walls around the city, to give the city back its proper place, if you will, because the walls were rebuilt and remade. In fact, eventually, Nehemiah, the exile, became governor Nehemiah. He was appointed to be a leader. He was moved by the dreadful condition of his family's home, and he wanted to see it restored. So he allowed God to use him to be the leader of the rebuilding of the wall. And he did a fabulous job. Again, if you read through there, he was given wisdom. He was given direction. He used all the workers in ways that were great and well-suited for them. He made things easy for those workers, as easy as he could make them. God used him to delegate and show them how to do what they needed to do. He was able to persevere, not through just the task of rebuilding the wall, but he persevered through all the opposition that he had. A lot of people were coming against him saying, you can't do this, you shouldn't do this, don't do this. Nehemiah said, wrong, this is what we're doing. And he persevered through that. But God gave him that ability. God gave him that strength. God gave him that wisdom to go through all that he went through. And he saw those walls rebuilt and that glory to that degree restored to that city. One of the key traits of a godly leader is knowing who you need to please. See, leadership is not about serving yourself. Leadership is not about you and you getting any kind of praise or admiration. That happens, yes, that typically does, but that's not what leadership is about. Leadership is about knowing who you need to please. Being an effective, godly leader is remembering that God is in control and God is the one we need to please. Amen. It's not even about pleasing the people. I mean, I am a people pleaser. I like it when people are happy. But being a good leader isn't about making people happy. Being a good leader is about pleasing God. It's about being obedient to what He tells you to do because God is the one that is in control. And we have to remember that. He is the one that is in control, and we need to obey Him. As He directs the leader, us, we can then lead others and direct others. Even Moses understood this. As great of a leader as we know Moses to be, Moses understood this concept. He knew that God, if you will, was his boss. He had to report to the Father. That was who he took his direction from. That's who he needed to obey. That's who he needed to listen to. Not all the people that kept grumbling and complaining and whining and moaning. But he knew he needed to take his direction from God the Father. He knew he needed to obey the direction that he was given and that he could then give that direction to the rest of the people. Right? That's what a good leader does. We can never think that we have achieved the top rung of a ladder. Because as children of God, as born-again believers, we will always have a boss to answer to. God, our Maker, is our leader, is our director, is our boss, is our CEO, is our CFO, is our COO. I don't care what you want to call him. God is your leader. You are never, ever at the top rung of the ladder. You may work your way up. You may have a lot of pull, but you always have someone to answer to. And that is our God. We cannot allow our circumstances to direct us. We cannot allow our attitudes to direct us. We have to allow God to direct us. There's a lot of times God has asked me to do something I just don't want to do. But when I do it, I realize how important it was. And there's a blessing in that. When we're obedient, when we do what we're called to do, whether we like it or not, there's a blessing in that. God wants us to be obedient, no matter how much we would rather push against it and not go down that road or not be a part of that. Just about anywhere you look in Scripture, you can find example of people who have been used by God in some way to be a leader. It may be for a very short time. It may be a one-time event. It may be for the rest of their lives. But throughout Scripture, you can find examples of God-given leadership. Some of them might even seem like unlikely leaders. I mean, again, we know the beginning from the end, so it's hard for us. But think about that day when Samuel came to Jesse looking to anoint the next king of Israel. David was never, ever, ever thought about. David was Jesse's youngest son, and he was out tending the sheep, and we don't even care about him. I got all these other boys that Samuel's going to pick from, and he's going to choose one of them to be the next leader. God said, no, I'm not. I choose that guy over there. I choose the guy that you can't even think deserves to be here. I choose the guy who's out in the dusty, dirty sheep pen leading the sheep. That's who I choose. So as unlikely as David may have seemed, God said, that's my next leader. That's the one I choose. And arguably, he might be the best king in history ever. Human king. Human king. Not just for Israel, but ever. Some may oppose Christianity or oppose the way as it was called in Scripture, and then turn around and be its biggest advocate. This guy by the name of Saul. He got letters. He did all he could do to go out and punish people, put them in jail, see them murdered, see them destroyed. God got a hold of his life, and now he's telling everybody about Jesus. Now he has become this amazing leader for the people to see. Another very unlikely candidate. But God said, I'm going to use him. Saul wasn't looking to be that leader. Saul wasn't looking to be the author of almost half of the New Testament. But God said, I choose you. I'm going to use you. And that's who he used. Even Jesus' earthly brother, a guy by the name of James. Do you know when Jesus walked this earth, James did not believe in his brother? James was opposed to Jesus and his ministry when Jesus was alive. But after his death and resurrection, after time went by, James came around and realized, wow, my brother is who he said he is. My brother is the Messiah. Jesus is the one. And James became a leader in the church. In fact, Paul, called him a pillar of the church. He became a very important part of the historic church that has made its way to us today. You know, I don't think it's wrong to say that some leaders are better than others, that some leaders are able to lead in ways that others can't, but we can never close that door on leadership. We can never shut the door in God's face and say, leadership? No, not me. We cannot do that because we could be the next Saul. We could be the next lonely shepherd called David. We could be the next guy that God says, I'm using you, and you're going to do this. We cannot close that door. Don't exclude yourself from God's plan, but rather welcome it. You never know what he's going to do with you. Moses, in all of his great leadership, he did not make things up as he led the Israelites. He went to God and said, what do I do? And he went back to the people and said, this is what we're going to do. And when the next circumstance came, he said, God, what do I do? And he went back to the people and said, this is what we're going to do. That's what we need to be like. We need to have that same kind of attitude. Because again, we don't know. None of us can see tomorrow. None of us can see next week. None of us can see this afternoon. We have no idea how God wants to use us until we get to that situation where God says, this is what I want to do. This is how I'm going to use you. This is what I have planned for you. I know you've known all this and you thought all this, but I'm changing your path and this is what's next. This is where you're going. Will we allow God to do that in our lives? Or will we keep trying to push that door closed, saying, I'm not a leader. I'm not someone who can be that person, God. I'm not. That's not me. Will we open it wide open and say, yeah, God, however you want to use me, use me. If you think that I can do that, then okay, God, with your help, I'm willing. With your help, I'll go. Being a leader is not something we should take lightly. There's a lot involved in being a leader. I get that. In fact, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with leadership. That's how it is. So we shouldn't just, you know, think of all of that stuff as meaningless, because it is important. But we can't stop God from doing what God wants to do. We have a big God, and He can do big things. We might be little people, but He can still use us in big ways. He can still have big plans for us and desire to work through us. God said something to Moses, and I think He would say that same thing to us today. We read it just a few minutes ago. Exodus 4:12. Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. Now go. That's your job. That's my job. Two words. Now go. And then God. God will speak. God will teach. God will lead us that we might be able to lead others. So I guarantee you, if God calls you to be a leader, He will be right beside you leading you. He will lead you so that you can lead others. And when He calls you, you may accomplish greater things than you ever thought possible in your life. Not for your glory, not for your sake, but because you were obedient to God and said, I will, and He does. Being a leader, we can't push Him away. We can't say, that's not me, that's not my job, I don't like it. We can be honest with God. Don't misunderstand. We can be honest. We can say, Lord, you know, I'm not really gifted in this area. I know that's not my strong suit, but God, I also know that you are way bigger than I am, that you can do way more than I can do. And if that's how you want to use me, God, then here I am. Use me. Let me honor you. Father, we come before you this morning. And Lord, I'm going to thank you ahead of time for the opportunity you give us to lead, whatever that leading might be. Family, work, at the store, verbally, physically, however you want us to lead. God, I'm going to thank you for the opportunities you give us. And I pray that you would work through us in all of those. That we would not try to do things ourselves or be self-reliant, but God, we would be obedient to you and allow your Holy Spirit to flow through us in greater ways than we have ever expected. God, use us to be the people you have called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Green.
thank you for your word today. We thank you, Jesus, that you have given us the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us, Lord. God, help us to step into the arena that you have called us to, Lord God, to lead in the areas that you want us to lead, Lord God, and to serve and give and use all the other gifts that, God, you have blessed us with, Lord Jesus. We commit this day into your hands and the week to come into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.